Saúde boa, tchau.
Hello, and welcome to the Tiger's Den. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Tiger's Den, the official LSU podcast of the Don't Patrol United Network. I am your host, Scott. And, well, unfortunately, LSU didn't really get off to quite the start that we were hoping for, the Tigers dropped their opener to UCLA 38-27, and it wasn't really as close as that score suggests. The O-line looked bad. The D-line looked bad. We looked outplayed, outcoached. Speaking of outcoached, is Coach O now on the hot seat? Some things that we will discuss this and a bunch more on this episode. Today, I do not have a guest this week, but I have something even better. I have an official co-host now. When Jeff and I first spoke about me doing this show, it was always intended for me to have a co-host, but couldn't really think of anyone at the time that would fit into that role. So I went about it by myself. And but this person has been a guest on this show a few times and I think has a tremendous LSU knowledge. And we have good banter back and forth, good rapport. And he's I'd say a halfway decent guy. it is none other than Wesley from the BS and Beer podcast. Wes, welcome to the show. It is your official co-hosting coming out party. How are you doing?
Thanks. Would be better if we were talking about a win to start off.
That would be nice.
I'm sure we'll find some sort of positive ways to spend that and also some positive LSU things to talk about. But
yes,
love the Tigers. Been around them my entire life, and I'm ready to talk about them.
Like I said, unfortunately, LSU dropped to UCLA 38-27. As a whole, there weren't too many positives. I guess there were a few. Obviously, the main positive to come out of the game was Kayshawn Boutte, who was just amazing. 9 receptions, 148 yards, 3 touchdowns. Max Johnson, if you look at his stat line, 26 for 46, 330 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. His stat line sounds better than I guess it looked to me, at least. He was a little off target on a few of his throws, on target for most of them, but his wide receivers really didn't help him out a lot either. They dropped some balls they probably shouldn't have dropped. And, you know, I don't know, maybe if he was a little more accurate or on target, they might have completed them. But, you know, really, it's only his third start. And that's a pretty decent stat line for being your third start playing against, you know, some, you know, decent college football teams.
Yeah, I don't want to make an excuse. And like, I went into this game hoping for a win, obviously. And right. So now that we lost, I don't want to just be complete sunshine and rainbows. I'm disappointed. Looking at it, I mean, reality is Max Johnson was not going to win the starting job this year, over Miles.
And I think this game proved that 100%. Like if Brennan was healthy, he would have been starting
for sure. And I can sit there and say like, okay, well, we had a pretty okay game against a good UCLA team with our second string quarterback. Having said that, I didn't think of Max Johnson in college. Your second string quarterback is not normally light years difference from your starting quarterback. Like in the NFL, where there's typically a pretty clear distinction between the two. So I expected Max Johnson to be able to have a decent season, start off these first 4 games, you know, getting good experience and winning games while gaining confidence. I expected Max Johnson to be able to still beat UCLA. Now, do we know how good UCLA is? No, that'll be determined over the course of the year. Last year, we thought Ole Miss was good after we lost to them and then they were terrible. I'm disappointed. I do think, the offensive line and, like you said, receivers didn't help Max Johnson out, but Max Johnson didn't help Max Johnson out either. And he looked, maybe I'm forgetting, but to me, he looked worse than he did last year. Having said that, I think the defense played better against him than what we saw most defenses play against them last year. So it's
right. They got some film on them. So, you know, they were able to kind of better prepare for them. I think one thing that Max didn't do, and from what I can understand, this was more of a coaching decision, was they didn't really let him kind of run around as much. They didn't let him use his legs and scramble out of the pocket or have rollouts. And that's really stuff he does well. And it's more of a fear thing at this point, because you've got somebody behind him that has never started a game. You know, and I think it's more of a fear thing. It's kind of like, you need to let Max Johnson be Max Johnson. Like, what made him successful and look good last year was that he could use his legs to do things. I have the RPO. I mean, I don't remember seeing really any RPO in the game. I think I remember seeing one option play, maybe. Now, was that because the offensive line looked like ass? Was that because it just wasn't part of the game plan because they didn't want him to get hurt? It could have been a combination of the two. Running game was non-existent. I mean, non-existent. I mean, Davis Price had 31 rushing yards on 13 carries.
And again, we didn't even try. It was just run straight up the center and guards.
Zone runs or, you know, RPOs or anything. It was very
No sweeps, no tosses.
Yeah, it was a very weird just game plan. It was just like, okay, we're just going to go out there and we're LSU, so we're going to go through the motions kind of game. I don't know how to describe what I saw, because it was so bland. It was so uninspiring. This is not what, you know, they've been promoting, what they're telling us was coming. You know, they're telling us that we're getting this offense that we had with Joe Burrow. Now, obviously, Joe Burrow is Joe Burrow, and you're never going to have another Joe Burrow.
But there's also no pace to our offense whatsoever.
None.
It seemed like we were up against the snap, getting in the last 3 seconds of the play count. Taking every single time.
Forever to come in. Then he was having to call out protections. Yep. You know, you've got an offensive line with all these players coming back. They should be able to look at the line and be able to tell what protection they're supposed to be in. I mean, they all came back. Like, they look like they had never played together before, and they looked horrible. And I've heard some comments from some of the players say a lot of them were confused, or they didn't know where they needed to be, because of the switch in coaching and stuff. But you had a whole offseason to really work these kinks out. Like, I don't understand. I mean, there was one play where there was literally three linemen standing there blocking no one, and Johnson got sacked by one player, like rushing on the other side. Like, how does that happen? Like, how are you not double teaming somebody? Or it was horrible.
Well, and I think that it was weird coaching that we did not make any adjustments whatsoever. None. Like, and they UCLA played the same way every time, like passing down, they put everybody up at the line and they were coming. It was strange to see just the lack of coaching, not only the preparedness to start the game, but then once the game started going, like, of making any adjustments whatsoever.
Yeah, you're thinking
seemed to not happen.
Because at halftime, it was 14-10. So you're still in the ball game, right? So you're only down by four. You go in, you make some adjustments, and you get ready to come out the next half. And like you said, to your point, there was no adjustments made at all whatsoever. It looked like the exact same thing they had done in the first half. And offensively, and I would say defensively, it was the same way. Like, the defense... And I think we talked about this before the preview, our passing, our cornerbacks are good. Well, we have the best cornerbacks in the country, right? So you basically just need to go out and stop the run. And obviously that's easier said than done, but you shouldn't get gashed for 210 yards of rushing, 117 from Charbonnet and another 96 from Brown. And the defensive line was getting blown off the ball, and they knew that they were running. Everyone in that stadium and watching knew that they were going to be running the ball, and they still couldn't stop them.
Yeah, and to be fair, I mean, the UCLA quarterback was 9 of 16, which terrible kind of percentage, but for 260 yards and 3 touchdowns, I believe they had 5 pass plays over 20 yards.
Yes.
Which this is, I mean, just unheard of for LSU to not have any kind of push at the defensive line. I'm talking about in the middle. Like, I think our defensive ends played okay, putting a little pressure on the quarterback. Linebackers did not exist in this game, strangely. And then just, I mean, again, just no adjustments was weird. And, I mean, we're just mentioning that. We apparently on our bench have one of the best coverage linebackers in the country that did not play on defense. He played just special teams.
Yeah.
I mean, so I get it. If Mike Jones was like the next man up, we lost the linebacker for the season. We lost Strong for the season. So, yeah. And then again, somewhere in the game, you figure out that nobody can cover their tight end. So like, oh wait, there's a guy over there that we made a big transfer for out of Clemson. That was a big deal that Mike Jones was coming to our team. Strange that there was no, not even attempts to do something else, but crossing routes. Back to the old defense of where we just didn't defend crossing routes and there's no communication. I could tell at the snap multiple times, there was multiple times at the snap of the ball when UCLA snapped it, that both linebackers or all three linebackers of LSU were facing the other direction, not even looking towards the ball and the quarterback. I mean, so you knew there was a problem. They already didn't know what to do. It was strange.
And they showed one play where the linebacker, I don't know, it was a linebacker or a cornerback or whatever, was making an adjustment. Like, and he was calling out to the player next to him and looking at them, and they hiked the ball and the guy ran a crossing route and ended up scoring a touchdown.
Yep.
They should have been more prepared. And they weren't, they were just out coached. And I think that the thing that kind of upset me the most was, you know, we're supposed to be, you know, these big, you know, a big SEC team and be able to really go up against anyone and not get pushed around. And we got pushed around all game. They were just, even if you don't know where you're supposed to line up or what play you're supposed to be running or whatever, the physicality, you're supposed to be physical. You're supposed to have more physicality than the other team. And we did not. We got pushed around and bullied the entire game, both lines. And that was, I think, the most disheartening thing for me was it was just like they were just doing this. UCLA was running the ball, running it down our throat, and they were just being more physical than we are. And you really, even last year when we were losing, we were still physical. We were still hitting people. We were still blocking. You know, we were trying. And in this game, it just didn't seem like that at all.
Yeah, like you mentioned, positives. Boutte was good. Trey Palmer came out of nowhere for me. I knew that he's an athletic guy that was going to do something on special teams. Had no idea that he could catch the ball accurately and run good routes. Trey Palmer looked good out there. Yeah. And, you know, I don't know how much I read into this. I didn't focus on him the whole game. Besh only had the one catch.
Right.
But I did notice Besh multiple times between snaps, like directing people, firing up the team. Like he just – for a true freshman, definitely looked like a leader out there, kind of knew where he was supposed to be and was actually directing other people. And, I mean, he would have had a couple other catches if there wasn't some bad throws by Max Johnson.
Right. So, and, you know, and Besh, you know, being though he was switching positions, you know, to be able to go out there and call out and help other people is pretty good. You know, it's pretty amazing that he was able to do that. you know, something else, you know, you notice is that we didn't throw to the running backs really at all.
No.
Which
would have seemed like the smart thing to do with them blitzing like 6-7 people on multiple plays.
Exactly.
I mean, just throw a swing pass.
Yeah. You know, UCLA did that. Their receivers didn't really have, you know, much. You know, we talked about the quarterback stat line. Is because their wide receivers really didn't catch the ball much. It was either their tight end or they were throwing it to the backs at the backfield. You know, their leading receiver had 3 receptions. I mean, and they only had 5 people catch balls.
Phillips is their only wide receiver that caught 2 balls, and he only caught 2.
Yeah, like, it's just I don't know why we didn't throw it to the tight end more. I don't know why we didn't throw it to the running backs more. Shit, if they're blitzing like that, run a screen play. I mean, that's
again, I'm I definitely believe that the coaches on the team are more qualified than me to coach a football team. But just layman's terms, I'm looking at it.
I don't know at this point.
It looked like a pretty obvious solution to the all-out blitz that UCLA did on every single play. Like, I mean, it seemed like there would be at least something to try. And again, maybe they do something wrong, but try something else besides hoping that that five people pick up seven people and that the quarterback has 3 seconds to throw the ball.
Yeah, it reminded me of when we played Bama a few years ago when Les Miles was coaching, and they just kept doing the same thing over and over and over again. We did, and it wasn't working, and they had nothing else. Like, that was it. That's all we're going to try because we didn't game plan for anything else. It was very reminiscent of that. And I guess kind of since we're talking about coaching and stuff, you know, there's a lot of people calling for O's head at this point. I am of the opinion that I wouldn't say deserves benefit of the doubt, but I would say it's one game to give him a chance to see if he can fix this. And if he can't, then, you know, it may be time to part ways and he can go. But, you know, calling for his head after the first game just never seems, for any coach's head after the first game, just never seems logical to me. I don't like necessarily switching coaches in the middle of the season either. But people are doing it. You know, if LSU goes 7-5 or worse, I think he's gone for sure. But calling for his head after one game, just, you know, and people are like, well, why are you defending him? Like, I was having text messages with family members and like, why are you defending him? I'm like, I'm not defending him. All I'm saying is just pump the brakes a second and relax. It was the first game. I understand it was on the national stage. I understand it was embarrassing. I know what our record was last year. You know, I know all the knocks against Coach O. He can't coach. He can't hire coaches. You know, Aranda was a Les Miles hire. You know, just give him a second to try to right the ship. And if he can't, then by all means, get rid of him. But it's one game.
And I think the key thing that you said is that you're not forgetting last season. I think that most people, the people that are calling for Coach O's head, are not looking at this as the first game of the season. They're looking at it as an extension of last season now, because that's what we look like. And we're now 5-6 in our last 11 games. Mm-hmm. And so I can understand them saying that. Do I think that O should be fired after one game? No. Do I think that it's okay to have a conversation that if they are going to finish 7-5 or worse this year, not okay at LSU.
I agree.
And again, I think that there was a way to lose this game and not have a conversation about Coach O losing his job. The way they lost this game, they looked terribly coached. Mm-hmm. The only, you know, the good news, again, that improvement over last year is last year after we lost the first game to Mississippi State. I mean, we heard stories about the coaching staff and the players all fighting each other, arguing and yelling, everybody blaming each other. And honestly, like immediately after that game, multiple players talking about sitting out the season, they were going to take their COVID season. Apparently what we're hearing, and again, we're not in there, but apparently what we're hearing is this has been has brought the team together. They've worked really hard on specific things that they thought they did terrible on, and that nobody's blaming each other. They're all like saying, like, put this on my shoulders, I'll do better. Again, that's what they're supposed to tell us.
Right.
But last year they weren't telling us that after the loss. So, you know, and we've got the next two games that, my Lord, if we lose one of the next two games, Coach O needs to be fired immediately. That will be unexcusable for LSU. I think there's even a 1% chance.
Not bad.
Well, come on.
I mean, look, we're LSU.
Garrett Neusmeyer can start against Central Michigan.
But they're not horrible.
but we can't lose either one of those games.
I agree. We can't lose either one of those games. And, you know, and really, they've put themselves in a hole to where nothing you do in those two games is going to stop the talk, the fire Coach O talk, because those are teams you're supposed to beat. It's not going to squinch that fire. Winning the next two games is not going to stop the talk of the firing of the coach. It's not going to squinch that urge for people to, And there's nothing they can do really in those two games to do that. They can come out and look like world beaters, but until
they win them both 45-0, and I think people are like, okay, we can.
It might slow them down a little bit, but then we know when we get into that next game, which is who's that?
Mississippi
first?
State and then
Mississippi
Auburn.
State. That's what I thought. Yeah, I could see us beating Mississippi. Well, oof. I don't see us beating Auburn. Maybe. I don't know. Mississippi
State.
It'll
depend on the next three games. Like, it'll depend. Yeah, McNeese and Central Michigan and then Mississippi State. I mean,
it's going to be it's gonna be a bumpy road. Now, hopefully they can right the ship. And look, too, you know, it's something we didn't really talk about, and I'm not trying to make excuses for anybody, but, you know, we had the hurricane. They were displaced in Houston practicing all week. Kids worrying about their family or their homes, whatnot. Actually, in the state of Louisiana, I think only one school won a football game this week at Southeastern. Every other team lost. Tulane looked like fucking amazing in their game against Oklahoma and almost pulled it out. And I was, you know, that was good to see. But if LSU had played like Tulane played, we wouldn't be having this fire road conversation.
Right.
You know,
and don't get me wrong. I like Coach O a lot, and I hope that this writes. But at some point, like, we just went through, like, with Les Miles, it got to where it was like, oh, okay, great recruiter, not here to be a coach. And what we're apparently starting to find out is that at one time, being the great recruiter was good enough in college football. Where we first saw it falling apart was with Mack Brown in Texas, because Texas has consistently, even to this day, has a top five recruiting class every year, and they don't win the crappy Big 12 anymore. And they started falling apart and having those problems for years. And they finally, and now, I mean, again, we're seeing that with Les Miles, the story got old, where at one time we could recruit our way out of, like, we're just better than everybody else in front of us. There are a lot of good athletic big kids coming out these days. And there's a whole bunch of the second tier teams are getting really good starting lineups now. And again, big athletic kids that we're not just running over them. So, I mean, maybe this is a day of that changing of that, the recruiting, especially now with the NIL stuff. It's the best team is going to get the best players consistently over and over again. It's going to be really hard to recruit or coach your way out of just not having a good team 1 year. I think
right.
And I think it's really important this year, because if we have two bad years in a row, I mean, I know that LSU is an established program, that there's a lot of kids that grew up in Louisiana dreaming to go there. But if we go 500 2 years in a row, recruiting, I think that what we got this year with recruiting is a gift to be able to have this top recruiting class like we've done. We can't blow it this year. So we'll have some transfers and we'll have bad recruiting.
And that's big with the transfer portal. You know, you have to win. Because kids will leave if you're not winning. There's no kind of there's not a lot of sort of loyalty these days.
No, not
at all. Schools or to coaches, they will bolt. And you know, it's getting to be where we like we were before Saban came is basically what it's going to look like if we go 500 again. And it's going to take someone to come in. And I don't know who that person is, but to try to build this program back up again. I don't think Saban's leaving Bama. I mean, they could, if I was Woodward, it'd be worth a phone call, but I don't think he's leaving. Maybe Woodward can say, hey, you want a challenge? Come build, you know, build back what you built the first time, you know, kind of thing. But I don't see him leaving there anytime soon. So, you know, I'm not going to get into thinking about who the next coach might be or who they could get. You know, a lot of people are, you know, when they call for the head, it's like, who are you going to replace him with? And a lot of people said that when Les Miles, people calling for Les Miles heads, who are you going to replace him with?
And they were all mad about it being Coach O that we chose to replace him.
Yeah. You know, people now are coming out of the woodwork. I never wanted him in the first place. Well, you know, you weren't saying that 2019 when you had the best college football team in college football history. And, you know, Coach O he's a defensive line coach. He's that guy, you know, he's the motivator. He's not going to call the plays. You know, he's going to let his offensive defensive coordinator do that. But he's a smart enough man to know, and he said it in interviews this week, look, I know what Louisiana expects. I know what LSU expects. If we don't hit that, it's on me. And he knows that. And I think he sees the writing on the wall. He's not living in some kind of state of denial. And frankly, you know, there's times where he does things that I don't think really a head coach should do. It's things that could possibly work and get you fired up, but it could backfire you, like the sissy blue shirt.
You mean like date graduate students?
That's one thing. But like the sissy blue shirt comment, you know, before the game, you know, everybody's like, oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. And then we lose and everybody's going, this didn't age well. You know, I mean, and the story about him, you know, showing up at somebody's camp and, you know, because they yelled something while he was passing by on a boat and he wanted to fight the guy. I mean, head coaches shouldn't be doing that kind of shit. They just shouldn't be. You would never hear Nick Saban doing something like that. And so anyway, hopefully they can right the ship.
Do you think that Sean Payton cost LSU their winning season by stealing Ryan Nielsen when the LSU had hired him? Do you think that we're is this a different conversation if Ryan Nielsen, a pro defensive line coach and is now assistant coach of an NFL team?
I think it's definitely a conversation you could have. You know, if we have him, I don't know that we're in this situation. And again, it's only one game, but I don't know. I'm just hoping they can right the ship, and we will see, I guess, over the next 3 weeks what we can do. I think they must be back in Baton Rouge after, I would assume, practice.
They are.
Back
there was
campus.
Pictures from LSU today. They're back, and then the game on Saturday is in LSU.
At LSU, it's their first home game of the year.
Yep.
Hopefully, it'll be
get to play Coach O's son.
Yes. So we'll be playing Magnese. Coach O's son is the quarterback. You know, that's an interesting dynamic, I guess. You know, one reporter asked Coach O if he was going to stop contact with his son this week, which I just think was a stupid question. I mean, it's his kid. He's not going to not talk to him. But I think each one is focused on what they need to do and knows that it's, you know, nothing personal, and they'll still hug and love each other after the game and whatnot. But, you know, obviously Magnese is a team that we should destroy him. For Coach O's sake, I hope we do, because like you said, if we lose one of these next two games, it's game over for Coach O, for sure. Things to look for in this game. I think, well, let me back up a second. Was it a surprise to you as it was to me that Emory didn't play and was out for quote unquote academic reasons? Because I hadn't heard anything up until the game started.
Apparently none of that was even known until Friday. Like it sounds like Coach O was surprised by it. But we didn't hear anything outside of the program until Saturday, just a few hours before the game. And still since then, Coach O is not answering questions. Like they'll ask him and he'll say he's unavailable. And they'll say, well, yeah, but like what's going on? Is it an injury? And he'll just go, he's unavailable. Like, which doesn't sound like, and
school just
with
started.
LSU, you don't want to start like,
I mean, school just started.
Ever going to see John Emery again?
They were out because of the hurricane. Like, I don't understand what academic reasons there could have been for him not to play. I don't know if something off the field happened, but I definitely don't think it's quote unquote academic reasons.
I definitely don't think it is related to any grades he's received this semester at LSU.
No, because like I said, they just started and they were out for the hurricane. So I was kind of surprised that we didn't see Corey Kiner any.
Very surprised. Which O has admitted was a mistake and said that they had a plan to get him in the game. And then once the game was close, they didn't want to put weird pressure on him, which...
If the kids are ready to play, they're ready to play. Put them on the field. This is the same thing we were talking about with the linebacker. Like, if they are able to play, I don't care if they're young, I don't care if they're old, if they can play, put them on the field.
Well, and O spent a lot of time this week talking about Neusmeyer, saying that 100% Neusmeyer will play against Magnese. They said, I don't know when he's going to play, I don't know how many snaps. He will be in this game. Apparently, they've seen some impressive things from him. Which, I mean, it's not really fair to compare his practice reps versus Max Johnson's, you know, in-game pressure reps. But that's interesting that at least has come up a few times.
Yeah. And you know, honestly, this is a game he should play in, you know, to get some reps, especially if by chance Max goes down. You know, do you think that obviously it's one game. Do you think, I have to think that if Brennan's healthy, when he comes back healthy, he goes in.
Yeah, I think that, what time frame are we talking about? I think that Brennan goes back in no matter what. I'll say that. I would say if we win the next two games and then we beat Mississippi State and Auburn and we're 4-1 and Brennan comes back, I think Brennan goes in as the starting quarterback. Now some of that will depend on how do we win those games. During those games, is Max Johnson completing 75% of his passes? And is he rushing a little bit? And is he looking like Burrow from 19? I think that Johnson would have to play at such a high level to stop that conversation that I don't even know if it's possible. I don't think Max Johnson is at the point where he can do that. I like Max Johnson. I want him to get some experience. I want him to be the starter next year. I think that Brennan's got to come back. I mean, we've got to, for Coach O's job, for recruiting, for the future of this program, we have to win every game we can this year. And if Brennan's the one that gives us the best shot, we put him in.
Could Brennan technically come back the next year?
I think doesn't he have to miss this year to do that? I don't know.
I don't know if he's real convoluted
after the. It's real convoluted after the COVID years and all that kind of thing of what they can and can't count and all that kind of stuff.
Well, I know next year. Last year didn't count at all. So if last year was
I know, but he is technically a senior this year. I don't know if he could miss this whole season and redshirt and be a quarterback next year.
But last year was his junior year, right?
Yes.
So that year didn't count. So basically, technically, this year is his junior year.
He's technically class-wise a senior. I think that because of the COVID, there might be like the senior plus one thing.
Right. So I think he could come back next year. Not that he would, but I mean, I don't know that he'd have to have a hell of a second half of the year to get drafted or to get picked up by anybody. Sure. So it's possible that, you know, depending on how Max looks, he could, but we've got a lot of quarterbacks coming in, Walker Howard and all these guys coming in, at least hopefully coming in. You know, we don't know, you know, that's another thing. It affects recruiting for people who are supposedly committed already. They can always change their mind, you know, until they get to campus. One thing we also didn't, well, we can kind of talk about going into the next game.
Brennan was a senior last year. This is his plus one season for sure.
Okay. So this is his plus one season. So he cannot come back.
He will not be back next year, no matter what.
Trey Bradford is apparently back with the team. He is enrolled and is immediately eligible to play. Coach O asked if he would play this week or about his availability. He kind of dodged that and said it was kind of ongoing.
I think he's enrolled at LSU, but I don't think he's available on the football team yet. There's like still, but if he, it could, that could be cleared up in the next 2 days though. I believe.
So
he is practicing with the team though.
Okay. So could that give us a boost possibly at running back?
I don't know if it really matters who's running the ball with the way that they were blocking and the calls they were making. Like I'm not sure if I can blame the running backs for this last week. I'm not sure if that was how much of the issue that was. It wouldn't hurt to have another talented, tough running back there.
Right. Okay. So that's interesting. Just kind of, you know, for those who don't know, he left LSU, went to Oklahoma, and then now is back with the team. So we will wait and see how that goes. In some other LSU news, this is not football related news. This is other sports related news, the women's basketball and women's gymnastics schedule came out. I think it was yesterday or the day before. So go check that out. I believe the women's basketball officially starts October 30th, but their first game isn't until December, I believe early December. And then women's gymnastics, their schedule is out as well. They start back. Their first home meet is on January 7th, so that'll be early next year. Home meets include West Virginia, Arkansas, Auburn, Bama, Kentucky, and Utah. And the away is Missouri, Georgia, Florida, Texas, and then the SEC championships are in March. So look for that. And then also, Wes, you had some soccer, women's soccer news.
Yeah, the women's soccer team started 6-0 and is ranked number 7 in the country. In the history of our team, the soccer team has never been ranked higher than number 10. And that was, I think, back in 2009, something like that. So pretty impressive start.
Yes, definitely very impressive start. So, you know, do you have any final thoughts, Wes?
Man, let's beat McNeese. Let's just start there. Like, let's just dominate McNeese, be tougher and be bigger. I don't even care if it's pretty. Let's just win a game, first of all. And then maybe in Central Michigan, we can talk about the plays and the coaching and, you know, discipline and all that. Let's just win a freaking football game, first of all. It sounds like the team's mentally rebounding. Let's get some positivity going. And, you know, it is the first game of the season. Like, let's just say that. But it was pretty terrible. But I think there's a long, long, long season ahead.
Yes. We definitely need to come up with a win. You know, I know Coach Osun's a quarterback, but he really needs to make this a convincing win and blow this out and try to put as many doubters down as possible. It's going to be hard because it is McNeese, but this cannot be a close game. Okay. Right. Like, this needs to be a blowout game, and you need to look like world beaters, you know, after this game. If you get pushed around on offensive defensive line again against McNeese, and make it a close game, Coach O ain't gonna last the season.
Right.
So I agree. Let's just go out and get this win. LSU plays Saturday. I think it's at 7 or 7:30. One of the two in Tiger Stadium. First home game. Hopefully it'll be
seven.
A packed
seven.
Hopefully it'll be a packed Tiger Stadium. It'll be nice to see it full again for the first time in a long time. So I definitely look forward to going out. I'm not going to be out there this Saturday, but I will definitely be going out to some games this year and tailgating and whatnot. So I'm looking forward to that a lot. That is all the show we have for you right now. We want to thank all loyal listeners for downloading each week and for telling all of your friends about the Don't Patrol United Network, where you only have to subscribe to one feed to receive multiple podcasts, including the 2-Point Conversion Instant Reaction Show, which we'll be doing this Sunday after the Saints game. The Don't Patrol podcast, which we just published a couple days ago. The BS and Beer Saints podcast, which will be coming soon once, I guess, Dave is feeling better. The Pelican Plunge. The Premier League podcast, Taking the Over with Billy Gunn, who just did a show. I think it got published today. And, of course, this show, The Tiger's Den. Follow each show on Twitter at Don't Patrol PCast, at BS and Beer Media, at Taking the Over, at Tiger _ Podcast, and at Don't Patrol Prem or Preem. Follow us on Facebook and Twitch for live streams at twitch.tv/Don't Patrol Podcast. And if you want to listen to us the old fashioned way, you can always go to don'tpatrolpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the other side. Good night, Tiger Nation.
Yeah, fighting tigers, fight all.